Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Shines like the sun here, all its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Let's consider deeply the lilies of the field, how they grow. Let us first consider that the lily does not choose in which field it will stand. When life bursts out of the seed coat, the roots of the lily take hold in hard clay or soft loam. Whether on a rocky hillside or in an open field, the sprout emerges into its field. So too, we find ourselves in a field which we did not choose. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. It's an invitation. And I want you just to imagine for a moment the landscape of your life, as if your tiny leaf has just peeked its tip from beneath the ground. this place, this time has been chosen for you. You can open your eyes. We're going to consider again the lilies of the field, and we're going to consider this. The lily does not control what grows around it. Okay? Amidst this field, the lily discovers that it mingles with wild grasses, crawly creatures, big human feet, rocks, and other herbage. The lily might be overshadowed by trees and struggle for light, or it might be alongside a hill that protects it from the wind. We too cannot control all that grows around us. See, our families already come with heritage, race, and values. We are caught up in corporate structures requiring us to attend certain schools, earn a living, pay taxes, right? So I want you to take a moment again. I want you to ponder for a moment all that grows around you. Think of the people and the places and the things that influence your life. It's through all this that God's abundant grace is poured out for you. And let us consider that the lily of the field has absolutely no control over the weather. Right? Regardless of whether it rains or there's a drought, whether or not they get a hailstorm or a snowstorm, an early frost, it must simply stand and endure. So too, we cannot control nations warring with one another or the manufacturing of nuclear weapons. We cannot prevent other people from feeling prejudice against us or stop people from abusing their children. So again, close your eyes. Reflect on the weather in your field and consider God's everlasting presence amidst this weather. Through all this, abundant grace is poured out for you. And let us consider that the lily came up, a certain kind of lily, of a certain color and shape. And its form and its health depended on the weather. And it was influenced by all the things that were around it. Right? An unexpected spring freeze might have shriveled the lily before it even bloomed. Or a spider may have cast its web on its stem and so it lived with a friend. So too, we came up a certain kind of person, of a certain color and shape, with various cultural, emotional, intellectual, and social propensities that were influenced by forces around us as we were growing up. Let us just reflect for a moment on our own growth, on who we are through the grace of God, despite all that threatened us and amidst all that encouraged us to thrive. And as we gaze upon this bouquet and consider the lilies, Let us remember that in the eyes of God, these lilies are precious and honored and loved. Yet, I tell you, Jesus said, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. Lilies live only briefly, you know. The blossoms a few days, the plants green maybe a few months. How much more do we receive in God's grace in our lifetime? See, we too are created, nourished, and loved by Mother, Father, Creator. So for all that has shaped and misshaped us, for all that has given us health and inflicted ill health on us, we too are precious in the eyes of God and honored and deeply loved. Just like the birds of the sky, just like the lilies of the field, God knows our lives intimately. He knows our life story. And God, as these lilies emanate with their beauty, is a life giver. Her nature is to continually create and nurture and love. So Jesus offers us this message of peace. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Right? Do not worry about your life. Well, when Jesus asked the disciples to consider the lilies of the field, the disciples were sitting on a spacious slope on a mountain near the Lake of Gennesaret in Capernaum. And the setting, it was serene. In fact, the crowd was certainly gazing on the birds of the air and gazing on the lilies of the field. The message, on the other hand, was not so calm. It was not so soothing. See, this text is a tiny part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is considered to be a powerful summary of the fundamental teachings of Jesus. The sermon opens with Jesus' proclamation of the Beatitudes, beginning with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus describes his followers as the salt of the earth, explaining that Christ's followers should live so that they are in right relationship with God and others. Since God provides for our needs, we must not worry about food and drink and clothing. For it is, Jesus said, the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here's the point. Jesus says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So it wasn't just, don't worry. It was, oh, but strive first for the kingdom of God and righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. See, these teachings were radical, demanding, authoritative. They were countercultural. He was calling Israel into a whole new way of life. See, in the midst of assuring us that we do not need to worry, Jesus reminds us to strive for righteousness. Well, righteousness is right living. Righteousness means justice. See, it's our acts of justice that will create the peace. We are bound to one another. Creator God is a life giver, offering us a source of abundant grace, right? He provides enough for everyone and everything. And as co-creators, we too must participate in right relationship with each other. See, we must choose a way of life that actually leads all people to live fully into God's beautiful works of creation. Jesus teaches us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus understood that we're students of love. That second commandment, I actually think, should be first, right? That we should love our neighbor as ourselves. It's the most difficult one. We're here to learn how to love God, how to love ourselves, and how to love others. And this was true in Jesus' time, right? It's why Jesus' narrative is embedded with stories where Jesus shows love for the other, for those who are excluded and those who are oppressed. He touches lepers. He speaks to the Canaanite woman. He responds to the blind beggar. And he demands that the cripple get up and walk and take his mat. See, it's out of a depth of compassion for the ostracized, the lame, and the poor that Jesus walks among all people, touches their bodies, and in doing so, he transforms their spirits. We call these acts miracles. It's the same miracle that makes that lily grow. It's a tender source of love that is fully present and authentic. It's real. And when Jesus stood before them with that tender love, the miracle happened. And we too can all be that miracle. Jesus was willing to encounter all people, and he's willing to cross boundaries of his time and place. And I emphasize his time and place because our time and place is different. Remember, the lilies of the field were placed in a time and place that they did not choose. And we too are in a time and a place that we did not choose. But it's Jesus who teaches us to demonstrate the divine love of God exactly where we are. So we too must be willing to overcome the prejudices and the stereotypes and the fears we have about the other. And I promise you all that we all have them. I have a funny story that I want to just put in here that kind of lifts that up. You know, we talk about, oh, I just love everybody. I love people. And I think back to a story with my son. His name is Samuel, and he's sleeping right now, which is a good thing because he might be horrified if you heard that I sang this. But when he was about 3, right, we went up to Cabela's, and he got one of those pop guns, pop, 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 pop. And we're sitting out on the front steps, and he's running around, and he turns and he points the gun at me. And I said, wait, you know, you never point a gun at a person. And he climbs up on the steps, and he goes, that's right, Mom, only Indians, pop. And he leaps off the steps and runs away. And I'm going, wait, they're people too. But, you know, he had spent hours watching old-time Western movies with Frank. And by the age of 3, he'd already learned one of the old-time stereotypes and prejudices that existed. It came out of our mouths, right? It's true that we all have our own prejudices and stereotypes, and we don't often know where they came from, or we don't even know that they exist. But we have them. And that's what makes it so hard to love others. But it's this love, it's about when we choose love, no matter what, we're going to act justly. They're tied together. And just actions means that we're only going to take what we need and we're going to share. It means that we're going to offer our presence and listen to the stories of other people. And that we're going to welcome others into our homes and into our churches and into our communities just out of love. So let us consider the lilies of the field. Let us consider what we learned, right? We learned that the lily does not choose in which field it will stand. Others do not choose in which field it will stand. See, some of us are born into a Christian community. And others? They're born into a place where they would be violently executed if they even read a sacred book other than the one that's given to them. The starting point in our lives, it differs. Some families have access to fresh water and abundant food. You know, others begin their lives malnourished, hungry, fighting incurable diseases like malaria. But like the lily, no one chooses their field. But God loves us exactly where we are. And all of us, in righteousness, in right living, are called to love everyone and the exact field where they live. Let's consider that the lily does not control what grows up around it. See, others too do not control what grows around them. Entire nations of people find themselves in extreme poverty without resources. The Native Americans in our country have been captive to arid, desolate reservations and denied the freedom to live out their own culture, their own religion, their own language that expresses their gifts in abundance. Families experience generational effects of things like alcoholism and drugs and domestic violence. And children are sold into human trafficking by their own families. See, but here's the thing. God forever imbues goodness and nurtures, and he promises life even in death. But all of us, in right living, in righteousness, we're called to be a source of goodness and nurturing to those around us as well. Let's consider the fact that the lily of the field has absolutely no control over the weather. Others, too, have absolutely no control over the weather. Some of us live in places without violence and war. But others, they're actually raised up as warriors and become experts at warfare, even as children. For some, illnesses create debt that forces them into homelessness. I met a family in Philly, their house caught on fire, and they're now homeless, right? The earthquake in Haiti exacerbated an already impoverished economy. There they have 80% unemployment. Doesn't matter how hard you work or how much school you get, there isn't a job. But here's the thing. Unlike the lily, people are mobile. Immigrants and refugees are fleeing horrific weather. God is life-giving, sustaining us with our grace and love always. But guess what? All of us, in righteousness and right living, are called to offer life and love to everyone. Well, this lily, these lilies, they all came up a certain kind of lily. They all have their own shape and their own color. Well, others came up a certain kind of person too. And they had a multitude of forces and circumstances that influenced who and what they are. One friend explained to me that her dad prayed every day, thankfully, that he wasn't a woman. Imagine that, right? As if being a woman was something less than. I have a fellow Methodist pastor, his four children. Three of them identify as gay or lesbian. The fourth child was actually worried about coming out and saying that he was heterosexual because he was the odd child, right? You know, throughout the world, you can track pervasive poverty almost entirely by how dark the color of a person's skin is. But God loves people exactly as they are. exactly as they have come up. All of us in right living and righteousness are called to love everyone exactly as they have come up. God is fully present. He's surely here in this space right now. And he's continually nurturing and offering us the source of love that we need to love others. And it's this beautiful chain. Think about it. Loving God, love yourself, and love others. And it's this way that love should be passed and shared in the seeking of the kingdom of God, in which all of us, not just some of us, but all of us will receive all that we need. Friends, do not worry about your life. Instead, live righteously. Become a student of love, and all will be given to all of us. God does not work alone. We are formed as a whole, all of creation, to be a source of life for each other. Every person has a life story, which we can never fully understand. In fact, I don't even know that I can ever fully understand my own life story and all that influenced me, let alone to understand someone else. And we can never fully understand, because from the field in which they came, to the things that surrounded them, and the weather that they endured, they came up a certain kind of way. And we need to simply love the person exactly where they are and exactly as they are. Love is not a compromise. Love is not conditional. And love is certainly never about assimilation. Love simply is. Amen.